Hello, and welcome once again to God's Light Christian Church's weekly podcast series. I'm Executive Pastor for God's Light Christian Church, Brad Komjenik, and I'm glad you're joining us here again this week. Now, the title of the message this week is called, In Case of Emergency, Break Glass. Everyone in their lives at one point or another is going to face trials, tribulations, heartaches, you name it, it's going to come. As sure as the sun rises and sets. So God made it very clear in the Bible what we're supposed to do when these times hit. Now I get question after question after question, both as a pastor and as a Christian counselor. Oftentimes the questions are such as, Pastor Brad, I'm unable to find a job. This is now getting into the emergency status for my family. I mean, we are now no longer going to be able to eat. If I don't get a job, what do I do? Another often common question that I might get is, you know, Pastor Brad, I just lost my spouse. It was very unexpected. This is an emergency for me. He or she handled the finances. I don't know what to do. Or it could often just be, I am in such a low place in my life, Pastor Brad, that I just don't even care if I go on. You know, what should I do? God never enjoys for us to be in these situations, but they come, right? Oftentimes people look at them as if they were tests from God, and sometimes they are. Sometimes they're not. Sometimes they're just the way life is. God gave us free will, and that oftentimes will mean that people are going to use that free will to do bad things to other people. So in that case, you know, we want you to be ready. We want you to know that God's there for you. When these things happen, what do you do? Where do you turn? I mean, oftentimes, people will look to themselves to say, boy, I have got to get myself out of this mess. Other times, people will look to God, and they will lay it at God's feet and say, you know, this is yours to handle, God. But what I like to do in the message this week is just kind of run down some different scenarios for you and then what we're called to do, what the Bible calls us to do. So as with every podcast that we do, we hope that you'll take notes, right? That's the only way that you really truly learn to be able to apply God's word to your life. Because the minute we get something in our minds and our brains, something else is fighting for that attention, right? It's fighting to push that thought out. But if you write it down, it helps to really cement it in your memory. So with pen and paper out now, I hope that you'll write this down. Here's our very first point that we hope you'll capture from the podcast this week. When I'm in a corner, God is there with me. The Bible says we are afflicted in every way, but we are not crushed. That can only come with God being with you. You know, as the Bible says, if God is with us, who can stand against us? What this is really telling us is we are afflicted, right? We are affected by these things, but we're not defeated. God won't let us be defeated if we look to Him during these times. Now, God will allow you to get cornered. It does happen. But He always makes a way out for you. It's the same with sin and temptation. You know, one of the largest temptations for men, Christian men today, is pornography. It's so easy to see. It's everywhere. You can't help but turn television on and flip through channels, and if you hit one of the movie channels, you're bound to see something. Knowing that that's there, God gives you a way out, right? And that way is flip the channel, look away, turn away, don't do it. That is a problem for you on your computer. They make great accountability software that you can put onto every browser that you have that actually alerts other people to where you go. So you have an accountability partner. See, God always gives you a way out. Oftentimes I hear, well, it's the devil tempting me and there's no way out of that. I just have to do. You do not. The devil does not have that kind of power over you, right? And we need to know that. God always makes a way out for us. When you don't know what to do, the best thing to do is get alone, get on your knees, and just lay the burden down at God's feet. We have to take these things to God. That's the only way we'll ever get Him working for us. It's not that He doesn't know, but He wants to know that we're willing to give Him that burden. Here's the second note I want you to really capture as we think of through this in case of emergency, right? When I don't understand what and why things are happening, I have to get it to God. I have to get that immediately to God, right? When you're lost and it feels like you can't find your way back, when you've gotten yourself so far down a bad road that you think that there's no U-turn, well, the deal is, you've got to get back to God. The Bible says, I am perplexed, but not driven into despair. See, I'm lost, but I'm not hopeless. God ensures I'm not hopeless, right? Whenever I get down that path so far, I just get on my knees and I look to God and I say, well, here I am. I'm down the wrong road again. I've managed to do it again. And I'm sorry, God, I'm not strong enough to do this on my own, and I need you. And that's all God's waiting for, to help you down the right path. And as a matter of fact, if you'd open up your Bible now and turn to James chapter 1, verse 5, it says, if you lack wisdom, ask God. It's that simple. If I don't know how to get back to where I need to be, ask God. If I don't even know how I got here, ask God. If I'm wondering how things are happening or why things are happening, ask God. Here's another passage. Be sure to capture this one. You can write this down, and also if you turn it to it in your Bible, we're talking about Psalm 62, verse 8. It reads, trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart to him. God is a refuge for us. Now, again, just break that down. Trust in him at all times. So is that sometimes? Is that only when I'm in trouble? No, that's all times. It couldn't be any clearer, right? Pour out your heart to him. You know, we should be talking to God as if he were our best friend, right? He's with us constantly. There's nowhere you can go that you're not with God. So you can talk to him anytime, right? Pour your heart out to him. Tell him what's on your mind. Tell him what's going on in your life. Tell him what your frustrations are, right? He can handle it. He created you. As a matter of fact, he created everything. So there's nothing he's not willing to listen to. And finally, that passage ends with, God is a refuge for us. Refuge is a safe place, a safe harbor. If you were a boat and you were out on the ocean and it was tilting to and fro, you look to that lighthouse, right? When you see that light, you know I'm near land. And when you're down in that well and you just don't see any light, God is there for you. God will make a way when there seems to be no way. God is a God of miracles. And sometimes I know we can get so low, it looks like there's no way out. We've done it yet again to ourselves, but that's never the truth. That's the devil's lie. God's truth is, just call me. Just call me. I'll be there for you. The next point, please write this down. When I feel like I'm under attack, God is there. The Bible tells us here on this point, persecuted, but not forsaken. Right? That means we're attacked, but we're never forgotten. God doesn't forget us when we are attacked by other people, especially when we're persecuted for our belief in God or Jesus. When you look back to the disciples, all but one or maybe two of them, the second one's kind of iffy, were martyred. They were killed for their belief that Jesus was the Christ. Right? And they were willing to give their lives for that. That's why I always have to laugh at people who say that, well, Jesus was just a really good man, right? Let me ask you this. Would almost 12 people give up their lives, die for somebody that was just a good teacher? I don't think so. That doesn't make any sense at all. Think about that for in your own life. If you thought Jesus was just a good teacher, I mean, I had some good teachers in high school. I had some good teachers in junior high, some good teachers in grade school. But if somebody put a gun to my head and said, hey, I think Teacher Jones was not so great. And if you don't say they're not so great, I'm blowing your head off. Well, then they're not so great. Yet on the other hand, if somebody tells me, puts that same gun to my head and says, I think Jesus Christ is not the Christ, he's not God, and you're going to tell me different. You're going to tell me he is not. Or I pull this trigger and I look at the guy in the eyes and I say, then pull it. Do what you need to do because I know where I'll be. And I think I'll also know where you'll be. And eternity's a long time to spend in hell. that's the refuge. That's the belief, right? God is always there for us when we're under attack. So now let's turn to 1 Peter, 1 Peter, and chapter 5. And there it reads, "Our enemy is like a roaring lion seeking who he can devour." And that's the devil. That's Satan. That's exactly what he is. That's what he's doing. That's what he's made of. He just runs around looking for people he can bother. He can get in your ear. He can get what's called a foothold in your life. He could lie to you and get you believing it. He has done it since he has fallen, right? It started with Adam and Eve, and it's been going every day since then. If we start believing his mess, then a mess we end up in. Now, the Bible says that we have actually 3 enemies, right? This is, again, something I hope that you're taking notes on and we'll capture. It's very important that we know this. Oftentimes, we think we just have, you know, the devil. He's always around. He's always bothering us, and that's my enemy. Well, let me give you 3 very quickly that I hope you'll capture. The first is the world system. That's the world that we live in. Well, how can the world be our enemy? Well, it's pretty simple. Again, let me just give you an example. Turn on your television. Turn on the radio. Pick up your newspaper. Go almost anywhere on the internet. What do you find? Well, you either find some kind of lewd program that's on, or horrible advertising for things. And my goodness, I even saw, over the last week, I saw an animated film. I believe the name was Sausage Fest or something like that. And it was an animated film that was more for adults. We're making animated films now? Like, oh my goodness. I mean, the world system has gone crazy. You can also look at things like our elections, our government, how we treat each other. It seems every night on the news there's been another shooting, and total distrust of government. There's a distrust of police officers, and they should be the first people we call when we're in trouble. So we have the world system as our first enemy. The second enemy we have is it's called the flesh, our flesh, our sin nature, which we were born into. Do you realize you don't ever have to tell a child to do something bad? They just automatically do that, right? They just automatically do it. A child will just whack another child. You don't have to tell them, hey, in order to do bad, here's what you need to do. You need to whack this other child. No, they just do it. We just do it, right? You have to actually teach them the right way to do things, right? Don't do that. Don't hit that other child. That's bad. But that's how we were born. We were born into sin. We were born from Adam and Eve, and that's sin, right? And then finally, of course, we've mentioned the third one, Satan. It's simply Satan. He's a liar. He's the king of all liars. He's very much alive today, but let's put him into perspective. He's not God. He can't control you. He can only whisper in your ear. And if you decide to talk with him, if you decide to debate him, you'll lose. Here's a hard and fast principle. Again, I hope you'll write down. I hope you'll take notes on this. We cannot stand against these 3 enemies without the word of God. It's just impossible. As a matter of fact, almost any one of these enemies can bring us to our knees. For example, if all you did was watch the news, well, you would think, my gosh, there's nowhere safe to be. I can't go on the subways. I can't go on the buses. I can barely drive. There's people shooting people everywhere. Where is it safe? Of course, the flesh. Right? You do nothing more than turn on the Olympics. Let's say you're watching the Olympics, and I noticed the other day as I was watching women's volleyball. Look at the dichotomy. Just watch men's volleyball versus women's volleyball and tell me what you think they think sells. The men had long shorts on. The women barely had shorts on at all, if you could call them that, right? It was pathetic, and this is the Olympics. And that's our flesh. So when we see that, what are we seeing? Your mind's not on volleyball at that point, trust me. And finally, the devil, I mean, that's what he does. That's all he does. The devil forces you into negative self-speak, self-talk about yourself. You know, oh, if you were wiser, if you were better, had you done this, if you had better parents, on and on and on and on. 2 Corinthians 4 has tons and tons and tons of verses on this, and you know, I'm going to ask you to do some homework here. Go to 2 Corinthians 4 and read those verses and see what you find there about this very thing, right? So now oftentimes I'm asked, well, Pastor Brad, how do I know when it is Satan? I'm just so unsure. I mean, sometimes I just think it's me. Well, look, there's about 5 different things here that I'll give you that you'll know that it's Satan, okay? That Satan's bothering you, that he's into your mind, right? So please write these down and study these so that you'll know. Here's the first one. When your problem or your thought comes out of absolutely nowhere, give you an example in my own life, and I'll give you examples in my own life from all of these things, right? Again, I was over having lunch the other day, and I headed to the salad bar. I was doing my thing. I was being a good on my diet, as I should be. Head over to the salad bar, and there was a lady who was in front of me who was a little overweight. And she looked at the salad bar as if she were going there, and then immediately turned to the left to where the cookies were, and she grabbed a handful of cookies. And before I could even capture my thoughts, my first thought was, boy, I'm glad I'm not like her. Now that's Satan. That's the devil. He planted that thought there, and I just took it and ran with it, right? Now think about this. Maybe she was running late to a meeting, and she was just grabbing some cookies to take up to her meeting. Maybe she wasn't even going to eat any. But what did I do? I immediately judged her. That's the power of Satan. That's Satan. That came out of nowhere. See, I wasn't thinking about that. I didn't look at in that situation and really premeditate and think about it. It just came out of nowhere. That's Satan. Okay. Now, the second part here is, it's irrational, bad thinking. Completely irrational and totally irrational bad thinking. Here's another example. I'm sitting in my car and I'm in a long line of traffic, and I happen to look over to the side of me, and there's a vehicle over there that saw ahead of us the sign that said you need to merge. And that sign had been back there for miles, yet here they were beside me, inching over as if I were, you know, I should just, they own the road and I should let them in. Well, now, of course I should let them in. But my first thought is, No, you know better. As a matter of fact, I think I'll just take my car and hit you. What are you going to do? That's irrational. That makes no sense. Who's going to do that? Who in their right mind would do that, right? That's irrational thinking. That comes directly from Satan. The number three way you know it's Satan. It's unrelenting, and it seems unending. That's Satan. You know, Satan has absolutely nothing better to do than to mess with you. He loves nothing better than to mess with you. And he will not stop, right? This is where things like depression come from, and anxiety, and just a general sense of impending doom. It's all from Satan, right? Here's an example. Let's say you've had, you know, a hard day. You've had a really hard day at work, and you're a little stressed. You didn't sleep, you know, real well last night, and you have a lot of responsibility coming up the next day, right? You've got another big meeting that you've got to go to. You're going to be a presenter. You don't necessarily like talking in front of people. And the whole time, from the time you get home until the time you go to bed, your mind can't get off that. Your mind can't get off it. And the thoughts are like, you're going to fail. You're going to mess that up. You know, as a matter of fact, here's exactly what's going to happen. You're going to go in there. You're going to be unprepared. You're going to mess it up. You're going to fail. You're going to lose your job. Your family's going to lose their house. Your wife will end up divorcing you and taking the kids. Do you see where I'm going? Do you see where I'm going here? He just paints this picture, and it just seems unending. That your mind wouldn't take you there, but he will. He will grab you on that roller coaster and run you up that hill so fast. That's from Satan. Okay? Number 4, how do you know it's from Satan? Well, it's dangerous. You know, the outcome of your line of thinking would have very, very serious consequences for you. Again, this might be something along the lines of, again, you're at work and you're having your review with your boss, and your boss says, boy, your performance has not been where I thought it was going to be. And you know, yet all throughout, let's say the year, this is your year-end review, we'll say, all throughout the year, he's never told you you've done anything wrong, or she. They've never told you you've done anything wrong. And now they're laying this on you. So your first thought is, I'm going to go out. I am going out in the parking lot, and I am slashing this guy's tires. I'm going to key his car, and he's going to get what he's got coming to him. That's dangerous. You know there's cameras in your parking lot. There's cameras everywhere. The minute you do that, yeah, you will be fired. Yeah, you will have, that will have ramifications for your family. That's dangerous, right? That's just dangerous, and you would not think that on your own. That is Satan. And the fifth way, and this is kind of the most obvious way you know it's Satan, it falls to God's word. In other words, God's word proves it wrong, right? This is just Satan being Satan, right? Again, when he talks to Eve and says, now, did God really say you would die? Because if you look in the Bible, if you test it against the Bible says, God says, and you will surely die. The Bible refutes it. So if you're having that line of thinking, test it with the Bible. Test it and see what the Bible says. If the Bible refutes it, it's not you. It's Satan. Now, we cannot stand against the enemy of our soul without the Word of God. We just can't. You know, I said it before. Those three enemies that we have are tough, but specifically, you know, the devil. So now, if you will, come along with me here for a couple of passages. Let's go to Psalm 119. Right? Psalm 119 and verse 9. It says, how shall a young man keep his way pure? By taking heed according to your word. So there's your proof, right? How can we stay pure in a world that just fights us with every turn? Every time I turn on the television, I see something I don't want to see. I turn on the news and I see something I don't want to see. I look at my newspaper and I see something I don't want to see. Well, keep the word. Keep it with you, right? If you don't want to keep the Bible with you, then memorize the verses. Memorize them. That's what's called hiding it in your heart. You have to have it in your heart, right? Let's go back to Psalm 119, and this time we're only going to go down a couple of verses. Let's go to verse 11. It says here, your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. See, that is what keeps us from sinning against him. It's our shield. It's called the Word, the Bible. Even if you just keep the Ten Commandments, if you remember nothing else but the Ten Commandments, you've remembered enough to know, as your neighbor walks by and she's in a bathing suit, right? Thou shalt not covet another man's wife. Don't do it. Someone's coming up to you, or worse, you know, it's tax time, and you're looking at it, you go, well, I could lie on this, and say, thou shalt not lie. Don't do it. Don't do it. Whatever you do, don't do it. Those two verses alone are proof, right? Proof positive. We absolutely need the word in our life if we're going to face these enemies. Now, the next point I want to move on to is, when I am defeated, I know he's there, right? When I feel defeated is what this really should say, right? Because we're never truly defeated, right? You never fail at anything unless you just don't try. That's the only way you can fail, is not to try. You might say, well, no, I can fail. I can do something and do it wrong. No, you've just learned one way not to do it right. There's another way, and if you keep trying, you'll get there. You only fail when you don't do anything. So here, the theme is, the Bible tells us we are struck down but not destroyed. We get knocked down from time to time, but we do not get defeated. Not with God with us, right? Always carrying in the body the death of the Lord Jesus in me, is what the Bible tells us. We keep Jesus with us. We keep him in our hearts, right? Christ in you is the absolute hope of glory, hope of defeating these enemies that we have. And finally, I'll just end with Colossians 2, verse 6. And it says, as you receive the Lord, walk in him. Always keep the Lord with you. Always be walking with him. Every single day, make sure you are talking with God, right? Let me give you just a little bit of advice that I give everyone, especially if I'm counseling them or working with them in some way, whether it be at church or as, you know, in my professional role as a counselor. The best thing to do every single day is start your day with God. Don't let your feet get off your bed until you have done the following. Just set up, set straight up if you want. Personally, what I like to do is I will get right on my knees, right by the bed, and I'll get as low as I can get, right? I may plant my nose right in the carpet, and I thank God. I just say, thank you for another day. I'm awake. See that? I'm breathing. That's good. That's a good thing. I know who I am. That's another good thing, right? It's another blessed gift day that you've given me. Thank you so much for that. Without you, I wouldn't have it, right? Get grateful. It's amazing when you get grateful how your heart changes. Your heart just gets full. It gets full when you get grateful. You just remember all the great things in your life. Well, I just don't have anything. Well, let's start. Let's start. You know, you go from your head to your toes. Thank you for my eyes. Thank you that I can see today if you have that ability. Even if you don't have that ability, right, and you've never been able to see, well, then let's move down. Thank you for my nose. Thank you that I can smell things, right? Thank you that I can taste things, touch things, see the world or feel the world or even have someone explain to me what the world is. I'll be able to hear it. If you can move, thank you that I can move. If you have a family, thank God for each and every member of them. Even the ones you absolutely can't stand. Thank you, God, for those people. You put them here for their purpose. And my purpose is to be loving of them, no matter what has happened between us, right? You just get thankful. You just get grateful. Then tell God who he is, right? Tell him who you think he is. You are the God that created everything. Every single thing you created. And God, I'm so glad that you're an artist. How do I know you're an artist? Look at the beauty. Look at the beauty around. The beautiful stars in the sky, the way the sun creeps up over the horizon and the way it goes down so beautifully each and every day. The warmth the sun gives you on your face, right? Just the warm glow. And you look at a tree and the way that it kind of sways back and forth in that wonderful wind that you just don't have any clue how the wind started and where it's going. Those beautiful birds that are all over the place and they're chirping and singing to each other without a care in the world because, well, they know God's going to feed them. They don't worry about it. See, we do, and we shouldn't. We should just get happy, right? It's so simple. Get happy. How do you get happy? You get God. You get God working for you right away. And this is why I do this in the morning. I tell God my day, what's coming up. All right, God, today I'm going to see this person, I'm going to see this person, and I'm going to see this person, right? I've got these scheduled appointments, and boy, we've got some troubles with these people, and I know you're going to let the Holy Spirit speak right through me as I work with these people today. And thank you, God, that I get to go to church, that I get to worship you, right, with people who love you just as much as I do. These are all blessings. Do that in the morning, okay? People say, well, can I do it at night? Yeah, you can do it at night. But guess what? Then you're absolutely telling God what happened in the middle of your day. And he's not in it. You didn't give him a chance to get in it, right? Because when I say, hey, I'm going to see a person today. I'm going to help counsel this person. Boy, there's a lot of trouble, and I don't know that I know what to say. Well, would you help me, right? And then God sends the Holy Spirit. I've said things to people from time to time. I had no clue where it came from. But that's the Holy Spirit. That's how God works. But if I don't do that and I just go into that person, well, then I've kept the burden to myself. Now it's up to me to try to figure out what the right thing to say is. Get God working for you. Get that day started with God. When you get God on you right away, with you right away, Satan can't stand it. He hates to hear prayer, right? So you're pushing Satan away. First thing in the day, you're pushing him away, right? Break that glass. in case of glass, break it and let God free. Do that. Break that glass. Welcome God into your day. When you get in your car to go to your job, well, God, here I am. I'm in this wonderful car that you've given me, heading to a great job that you've given me so that I can afford to, you know, to provide for my family, so that we can go do things and fun things, so that we can tithe, that we can give to you, we can give to your work. Thank you for giving me the time in the day so that I can volunteer and to help people and to do things, you know, and do things your way. And that's power. You want to know what power is? That's power. Being a CEO, that's not power. That's three letters put together. It doesn't mean anything. Well, certainly it means something. It means I run an entire company and I've got 5,000 people on my shoulder every day. Well, that's great. That's good. I'm glad you're that responsible. That's wonderful. But I'll bet you could do that job better with God. And let me tell you something. Where they found you to do that job, they'll find somebody else. That's a guarantee. But God created you specifically. He created you for a purpose, and he created you much like a puzzle. You're a piece that fits only one way, and that way is in God and in his plan. When you get your day started that way, it's so powerful. I just can't explain it. Then go about your day and keep him with you. Keep talking to him. God, here's that person I told you about earlier we're about to see now. Just wanted to remind you, this is the one that it's on my mind. If you bring the Holy Spirit into this conversation and work here, oh my gosh, we could do so much good here together. This is not me doing it. I'm not helping that person. I am just allowing the Holy Spirit to work through me. That's power. We're back to power again. We're back to breaking that glass and letting God out. Don't keep him in that glass. Get him in your day. Get him working for you, right? Then your day goes. You found you've had a great day because he's been with you. Now you're back home. You're with your family. It's all looking good. It's all looking great. You're a productive member of your family. Everyone's, you know, communicating properly. It's great. Then have your alone time at the end of the day with God. End your day with him as well. Right? What you do is you just grab your Bible, you find a really calm, dark place that you can get to, maybe with just a little light that you can see your Bible if you want to read that, and just get alone and say, God, thank you. Thank you for this day. Sure, some things might have went wrong. Maybe your car broke down. Maybe your refrigerator quit. But you know what? That's just stuff. You'll get that fixed eventually, or you'll find a way around it. Keep God with you. Keep him. Keep your day going. Keep that going. Right? Let him know at the end of the day, again, I'm so grateful that I have you and all the things you've done for me. And I just want to obey you, and I just want to do your will, right? So I'm going to open up your word, and I'm going to learn a little bit more about you. I'm going to let you speak to me through this passage, through these verses, right? Get into the Psalms. Go, you, my gosh, go anywhere. Matthew, the Gospels, those are all great, great reading, right? And God will speak to you through that. That's breaking the glass in case of emergency. That, in fact, is breaking the glass before the emergency, so the emergencies tend not to happen. So I hope that this message has brought to you the tools you need to be able to get through the emergencies in life and maybe even to head them off. Thank you so much for joining us again this week for our weekly podcast. This one has been called In Case of Emergency, Break Glass, and that gets you right to God. This podcast and all others are brought to you by God's Light Christian Ministry. We are just so pleased to be able to bring you these podcasts, as well as our video sermons, and all the other great things that we bring to you at godslightcc.com. You could also find our YouTube channel there, as well as our donations page. We also want to always, each and every week, say a very special thank you to each and every person who, through the generosity that you have donated to our ministry. We hope you know that you're not just helping us build a church. You know, you're helping the communities as well. As we've mentioned before many times, the very first 50% of all donations that we get go to help local communities, charities, and missions. The next, whatever's left of the remaining 50% goes to keep the lights on here at God's Light, and then whatever's left goes to the church building fund. So please know, your donations, they certainly help, and they help us grow, and they help our community to grow as well. So again, we hope this teaching has brought you blessing. We hope that it brings you a sense that you can apply this to your life and that it'll make a difference in your life. So for everyone here at God's Light Christian Church and God's Light Christian Ministries, from our hearts, we're telling you today, we love you so much, we appreciate you, we thank you, and may God's light shine on.